Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This has got to conclude in a touchdown, Jeff. Field goal is unacceptable.
In motion, Graham now to the left side with Komet tapping the right side of his hip. One back set. Play fake. Under pressure. Trubisky lofts it. Caught. 6-5. End zone. Touchdown, Darnell. Darnell Mooney's in. And the Bears have the lead. Touchdown, Bears. Snap. Trubisky extend the handoff right. Opening for Montgomery. 10-5. Into the end zone. With a couple piggyback rides along the way. Touchdown, Bears. Montgomery does it again in a 26-17 lead. In motion, the tight end, Conklin, to the left. Play fakes. Here comes pressure. Urban trying to chase down Cousins. He laps it up. It is incomplete. The Bears nail it. They put the pressure on, and they turn away the Vikings on 4th and 1. Cousins with play fakes, and then Urban tracking him down like a wild dog. And Cousins had to throw it away to the sideline and hope and pray that someone was going to get to it, and no one did.
And now, it's time for the Prop Swap postgame show with Score senior football expert Hub Arkish and former Bears long snapping iron man Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, presented by PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears.
And welcome in, everybody, to our Prop Swap postgame show presented by PNC Bank. I am Hub Arkish, along with Patrick Manley. We will be joined in just a moment by Mike Mulligan. But, Patrick, by the hair of their chinny-chin-chins, it seems the Bears slip one in there. There's a ton to talk about, a lot of good, some not so good. But at the end of the day, now it's a two-game winning streak, and their playoff hopes are very much alive.
Yeah, and I felt really comfortable at the halftime, right? They're up by 10, but then I started thinking about that Detroit game. I'm like, oh, no, don't look good during the first half and come out the second half and play poorly. And what excited me is the offense went out and scored a touchdown, which made me feel a little bit better. But that was a heck of a game to watch, a little more entertaining than the last couple weeks have been, especially with the losses even last week. Just the blowout wasn't as entertaining, but it was enjoyable. But great to see what happened, to see them go up there and win the game and truly keep themselves in playoff contention. But I'm sure where everybody's going to talk about it is just the poor decision that Mitch made in the fourth quarter that, you know, potentially could have put the game away if they score 7 there, but makes them feel a lot more comfortable if they get 3 there, and good for the D to stop them on that 4th and 1. But I think that's still a question mark. But as the announcer said, he thought he only had 2 bad throws, and I did as well, but that's a pretty poor one in that situation. You just can't have that from your starting quarterback and a guy who was putting together a really good game with David Montgomery doing what he was doing on the ground and the offensive line blocking as well as they were. But it's a win, and we're alive, and I can't wait to do pregame next year, or next week.
There you go. Yeah, we've got a ton to get to, but right now we want to get to our buddy Mike Mulligan. Of course, Mully, half of the Mully and Haw show every morning from 5 to 9 here at 670 The Score. And, Mike, I'll say one thing for this version of these Chicago Bears, these last 4 weeks, really, and really these last 2 weeks, offense continues to improve, and at least they're entertaining. You know, this was a fun football game to watch.
Yeah, right down to the end. I mean, they're entertaining, all right. It's extraordinary to me to think about where the Bears were when they lost to this Vikings team, and how different they are right now, and how, you know, Matt Nagy. You win the coin flip, let's take the ball. You know, our best unit is our offense right now, which is a shocking idea. And there's been some kind of, I don't know, Damascene conversion that's happened here where I believe, 32 carries, 146 yards, and 2 touchdowns. 32 carries for David Montgomery. Haven't we been waiting for that for a very long time?
Mully, I think what happened is the coaching staff started listening to the score. Everything has been talked about on the shows, and your show included. We've given them the game plan, right? Get Mitch out of the pocket, run the ball, and that's all of a sudden what they were doing. And it looked great. It was fun to watch, and they just need to tune into you guys more often.
I was amused that Mitch was saying that to them, and they were like, oh, Mitch has some good ideas here. Hasn't everybody in town said the same thing? I mean, this is not breaking news. He's better when he's on the move. They've got to run the football, and I think that it's wonderful to see the change that's occurred in this offense. I don't know what it means. I don't know how it reflects in the future, but I think they're en route to a 3-game winning streak at least, right?
Yeah, you know, guys, I'm positive that a lot of folks at Hallis Hall are listening to the score, but I think what happened today is Matt Nagy was listening to himself last Monday, and he heard how ridiculous that sounded when he said, ideally, he'd like to get Montgomery 15 to 20 touches. I mean, you know, come on, that's not what you drafted the guy for. You saw him as your number one running back. This is how you use a number one running back. And with improved offensive line play, and Mike, we got to keep coming back to it. It's not a great offensive line. It still needs a lot of work, but they're playing so much better, and you can see the impact it has on the game.
No doubt about it. I mean, it's and you know, when you have that going, when you have a little bit of continuity with that group and they're feeling good and their confidence is high, and certainly you see how confident Mitch is, and you see David Montgomery hitting holes. I mean, how much of the year was he getting hit in the backfield? So it's just, you know, once that gets rolling, I think everybody feels good. The offensive line loves when you're running the football, and I think that they're going to feel really good about that result.
No doubt about it. I want to know, maybe somebody could do the research. I'm too lazy to do it right now because we got to talk some football. But is this Bill Lazor's greatest run game ever called as far as numbers of runs and total yards that have been rushed for? Because that was impressive for him to continue calling the runs. And, you know, we've been calling for him to do that. And it was refreshing to see that. And there were times they were calling the same play back to back. And I know as an O-lineman, you love that. You know, when you got yourself rolling like you're talking about, Mully, there, that the O-line wants those run calls. And it's almost like a confidence boost or a little bit of an ego boost when you look at that D lineman across the way and you've called that same run two or three times and you're still gashing them or beating them up pretty good. And that just feels really good.
And it works more as you do it, right?
Yes,
I mean, it becomes
100%.
More effective as you keep doing it. So we've seen, you know, it's a weird sort of way we've watched this happen. You know, it's like you get a big run. Okay, we got an explosive play. Wow, we got a touchdown play. Now all of a sudden, hey, the guy's got a 20-yard run. And right after that, they gave the ball to Cordero again, which is, like, infuriating. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Keep running that guy. Keep giving him the ball. 32 carries. I, honest to God, never thought I would see the day, and I'm delighted.
You know, Mike, Mitch obviously made a terrible decision on the second-to-last possession, but at the same time was playing a near-perfect game until then. You look at the body of work over the last 4 weeks. You look at what he did today. I know there's a segment of Bears Nation that just wants to crucify him. I'm not making any excuse for that poor decision. I am curious as to why J.P. Holtz and Robinson were both together there, and I'm not even sure which one he was throwing it to. But I think on balance, while that could have cost you the game, you certainly don't win the game without Trubisky at quarterback today.
Oh yeah, he had a really good game right up to that moment, and you know, you couldn't help but think about that Detroit ending, and you just slapped yourself in the forehead when you saw that play. And I get it, they're going to be aggressive, you know, we're going to stay aggressive. How about stay aggressive with the running game? But especially at that point, at that stage in the game. But I guess all is forgiven when you have some success. It's Mitch is a fascinating story to watch now, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is just really going to be one of these things where we're going to sit back and try to figure out what they're thinking. And I think that the story has changed. We're seeing a different player, a more confident version of this guy, and they're having success with him. Again, they're going to win next week. I don't think anyone doubts that. And then it'll come down to that Green Bay game and other results. But it's fascinating to think what the Bears might be able to do before it's all said and done.
Well, let me ask you guys this. We're talking about Mitch and how much confidence we had in him. In other games in his career, you would get in that situation, at least I would, and be like, oh, no, just don't make that dumb throw. Don't make that dumb throw. And then all of a sudden he makes the dumb throw. But during this game, he wasn't making the dumb throw. He was making the right decision, the check down. what, he pulled it down and ran for 8 times for 34 yards. So during the fourth quarter, it was interesting. That didn't even enter my mind. I was like, oh, he'll just throw it away if it's not there. Then I see the throw, and I'm like, oh, no, that's the old Mitch. We don't want that guy.
That was so funny. You know, Mike Zimmer, I mean, there were a couple of fourth down conversions you got to look at and say, what? Like the early one in the negative territory made no sense to me. And obviously that led to a field goal. And then I didn't understand the play call, to be honest with you, with the fourth down there after Mitch threw that pick. I just didn't understand what they were trying to get done. It seemed like Kirk Cousins just got on his horse and was retreating because he had nowhere to go with the ball.
You know, Mike, I'm curious what Pat, he's our special teams expert, has to say about this, but I think you got to give the Bears coaches big props on that first one. It made no sense that he was going for it. Remember, he had the punt team out there, and then, you know, Nagy frantically calls the timeout. I think they had a fake punt on, and somebody spotted it, and that Zimmer was confident in it, and then once they called the timeout, he was going anyway. I thought it was a horrible call. But that's the only explanation I can come up with for that Bears timeout. And it looked with his, you know, response that Zimmer was going for it.
Yeah. Well, my question would be, because it was 4th and 1, did they run the punt return team out there on accident? That's when you want to have your defense stay in, where you keep all your defense guys in and then put Cordarrelle Patterson back there as a returner, because that deters them from running a fake. So I'm not sure. I'd like to go back and see that. Is that if that's what happened and they caught themselves and said, hey, we're not ready. We got the wrong personnel in to defend if they do run a fake.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I got to check that one out.
I think that's what happened, and that there was a fake on, and then they thought they could just pick it up. But it was weird how deep he was in the backfield on that play, wasn't it? I mean, you would think he'd be closer to the line of scrimmage, but I don't know. That was, you know, Akeem once again had a real good play on that one.
Mike, at this point, it's obviously great for us because it gives us a lot of meaningful football to talk about. You certainly have to believe they'll be in good shape going down to Jacksonville next week. Do we come away concerned, though? I was worried about the defense coming into this one. Dalvin Cook is a great running back. Eventually, he's going to have a game on you. But you know, again, this defense gave up 27 points today. It could have been worse. They still don't appear to me to be back where they were prior to that Packer game.
I got to tell you, when that first touchdown that the Vikings scored, that was a blown coverage. And, I mean, it looked like – I mean, how do you lose track of Adam Thielen? And I thought, like, oh, this is a real problem. This is going to be a problem the whole game. And I think Thielen only had 2 catches in the game. Is that right? It was very – He didn't make the same kind of impact. Now, obviously, you can't lose track of their touchdown threat when you're in a situation like that. And I didn't see which guy it was. It looks like he split the two rookies and was left alone in the back of the end zone. But they didn't really have a lot of blown coverages after that. I felt better about things as they were moving on. But I'm with you, Hub. I mean, this is not a team that's winning with dominant defense like they had earlier when they were kind of winning ugly.
And what they were doing earlier, too, guys, on defense dominating is getting off the field on third down. I think it was the third defensive series. They gave up 3 third-and-5s for a first down, and then had that 20-yard catch and run by the tight end for the touchdown. And that to me, is concerning because they were excellent in third down. And to me, that's what – you know, you can be fine between the 20s, but get off the field on certain third downs and don't let them score. But for the third down situations right now, that's what I'm nervous about because they're 3rd-and-5s, and those are with that defensive front and those guys up there, they should get off the field.
Yeah, that first touchdown was Vildor on the boundary and Shelley in the slot. And what happened is, you know, Shelley bit on the outside move from the outside receiver, and Thielen's there in the slot and just ran free. That's a mistake. But I thought the kid had some other pretty good plays during the course of the day. Obviously, again, the defense wasn't great. But, you know, you go in the underdog bike, you got 3 of your top 6 DBs out of the game, and, you know, you come away the way they did. They did enough. You know, I'm not going to celebrate it, not going to be writing a lot of platitudes, but, you know, I give them credit. They did enough. They did what they had to do to keep themselves alive.
I saw a statistic. I guess Kirk Cousins is now, after that loss, 5-14 over the last 4 years when favored by 3 points or less. So he is not the guy that's winning close games for you.
That's an interesting stat. That's a fact right there.
We had Greg Coleman, you know, earlier in the day in the pregame show, in the Bet River Sportsbook app pregame show, and we asked him about the reputation of Kirk Cousins. And Greg's a Vikings guy, and so he's going to lean. He insisted that there was nothing to it, but I think the record kind of speaks for itself. Yes. He was 0-9 on Monday night until 5 weeks ago. Right. Now he's got that record. You know, he is a guy who struggles in big games. He didn't lose the game for the Vikings today, but he didn't do much to win it for him either. So, Molly, I know we got to let you go, but back-to-back Bears victory Mondays, guessing that you and David will have a lot of fun tomorrow morning from 5 to 9.
I think once we get over the shock of it, I think we'll have a lot of laughs.
Thank you. Molly, real quick. Did you have the Bears losing?
I did, yeah.
You did, okay. So it is a big shock, yeah. Okay.
I just thought that, the injuries in the secondary were going to kind of bite them a little bit, and I really was afraid that, as much as we kind of overreact to things, we got a little out over our skis after the Houston game, and I thought – both teams were kind of desperate, and, I was wrong. I'm delighted.
Thank goodness.
Mike, Bears covering.
And Mike, we will let you go, but, I think here's the part that nobody's paying attention to. Everybody wanted to say how bad the Houston defense was. They don't play another good defense. The Vikings defense isn't good. The Jaguars defense is awful, and the Packers defense is mediocre. So, there's a lot to fix here. But in terms of what the offense is doing, they don't have to worry about seeing a great defense to stop them.
Still like to see the defense play great, right, Hub? Mm-hmm. I mean,
yes.
It's great to get the offense going, and it's like I said, it's been this crazy inversion of things to be with this offense playing as well. What was it, 30 or averaging 30 points for the three games coming in, and here you go again. So it's very impressive to see the way that the changes have occurred on offense.
All righty, Mike, go enjoy the rest of your Sunday. That is Mike Mulligan. We will be listening at 5 a.m. tomorrow, 5 to 9, every day, Monday through Friday, for the Mully and Haw Show. It's the best sports talk show in town at Chicago's number one rated all sports radio station. Patrick Manley is here. I'm Hub Arkush. We've got the Prop Swap post-game show presented by PNC Bank. Guys, the phone number is 312-644-6767, and for the next 2 hours or so, the phone lines are yours. Give us a call. Again, 312-644-6767. You can text us at that number as well. We will keep an eye on the text zone. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll get right back to you and the phone lines, taking your calls on the Prop Swap postgame show here at The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DeAndre Houston, Carson, Shirek McManus. You got Duke Shelley out there. You got two young players. A lot of room middle of the field. They drape three in the prevent down near the goal line. Snap back to Kirk Cousins. He's moving. He's launching. He's going into the end zone. And the pass is batted away.
Intercepted.
In the end zone. Shirek McManus on the tip. Bears finish the deal. They take one in Minnesota. Fade to black. You're still alive at 7-7 at a 33-27 win over Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. Hallelujah, baby.
final play of the Bears' 33-27 win over the Minnesota Vikings to get back to 500 at 7-7. Highlights courtesy of our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780, 105.9 on your FM dial. Our buddies Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer with the call. Thank you guys very much. Our phone number here on the Prop Swap postgame show presented by PNC Bank is 312-644-6767. By the way, that was Eddie Jackson who batted away that last second Hail Mary attempt. Another somewhat tough day for Jackson in some regards. Makes the play there, although, Pat, I hate when they do that. You know, fortunately, when he tipped it up, it went to Sherrick McManus, but you got to spike that ball down into the ground or try and pick it. Fortunately, it was Jackson who got his hands on it first, but, man, that's nervous time at that point.
No doubt about it, and all the practices of watching Urlacher and all those guys, and I think normally we put Urlacher way back there in the middle of the field. That the coaching point is knock the ball down. That's all you – catch it or knock the ball down. Don't try to swat at it or anything like that. So that's the coaching point, and maybe it slipped through his mind a little bit, but that does make you a little nervous when you see the ball pop up like that. But thank goodness Sherrick was there to catch it.
All right, let's get to the phone line. Steven in Columbus has been a regular this season, and he is first in line today. Steven, how you doing?
Thank you. Live from the Columbus home of Ohio State football team. Sorry, Bob, I had to do that. But anyway, sorry about that. Anyway, I like what I saw from the game overall. And I won't put too much on that last interception on Trubisky because I don't know what Lazor was thinking putting Jake Holtz along with Robinson on that sequence there, even though that throw was pretty bad in the time and the placement. Just didn't do any justice. But overall, I like what I saw from the game itself. You know, Lazor, I think, is finally making some great play calling. I like what I saw from Montgomery. If you give the guy that many carries and he's still going strong, how can you not see his value? And I think this game kind of underscores what Matt Nagy is. And I said this before on your show, if I recall, that I'm sure he's feeling complicated based on what he said also this week in the press conference about how he, you know, likes calling plays. But the more Lazor does well with running the ball, keeping Trubisky on the run, even that might be, you know, cutting the field in short, like Greg Jennings said in the broadcast, that allows him to, you know, make quick decisions. That's kind of a bad marriage that Nagy and Trubisky has been put in by Ryan Pace, who's obviously on the hot seat. So if you're Nagy, that's kind of, if I'm a fan like him, if I'm a fan like like I am, I don't know what's the justification of keeping Nagy unless he decides that he's no longer going to call plays. And if Nagy somehow, you know, feels complicit and, you know, wants to still call plays, then, you know, I guess you have no other choice but to kind of part ways with a guy that obviously doesn't seem to have a full grasp of, you know, the personnel that he has in his arsenal. What do you got?
All right, Steve, let's hear what Patrick has to say. Pat, I mean, my quick response would be that I think that the resurgence in this offense is a lot more about the game plan than the play calling. I normally don't criticize play calls, but there were three or four that I actually hated today. I think they've changed the scheme. I don't know how much of this is about Bill Lazor's play calling, but I could be wrong. I'm curious what you think.
I just know they're averaging 31 points in the last four games. That's mm-hmm. pretty good since he's taken over. So yes, a lot of it has to do with the change of the game plan for sure. And that's on all the coaches because they're all involved. The coaches are involved on third down, some guys on goal line, all those situations. So that's all on them, and credit to them to finally make the switch, you know, that we've all been calling for. And it's obviously working, and this is how Mitch succeeds. And then finally the throw was completely on Mitch. I didn't like the play call. That was maybe one you're talking about when you just put the five wides up at the goal line. We've seen his entire career. He doesn't do a great job at that. He had a nice one last week against Allen Robinson. I'll give him that one. But overall, his body of work on the goal line with four or five wides just isn't great. But that's on him. That's a situational play that if none of those guys come wide open right away, you got to throw that away and just kick the field goal and go up six and hope your defense can stop them.
You know, Pat, I think the Bears go empty backfield on third and short and fourth and short more than any team I've ever seen. You know, and forget what the play call is. Sometimes you do want to throw the ball, but when you go empty, you're telling the defense what you're going to do,
right.
You know? And I just don't understand the philosophy behind that.
And they know it's not his strength. That's what, or you should know that. I think the numbers show it, that it's just, he doesn't look comfortable. He can't read the defenses that way. And it's supposed to be quick is what it's supposed to be and find the matchup. But if one of his, it's basically to me, he always goes to his one read. And if it's not open, he gets in trouble.
Yeah. And Steven, the one thing I can tell you with absolute certainty, I don't have to ask anybody about this. Either J.P. Holtz or Allen Robinson was in the wrong spot. It's nothing to do with the decision Mitch made. Bad decision. He can't throw the ball there. But there's no way those two guys are supposed to be next to each other on top of each other like that. And my money would be on Holtz having made the mistake. But I don't know. That part I am guessing at. Let's get to Ryan in Villa Park. Ryan, how you doing?
Very good, guys. And I have to ask, this doesn't actually seem to be specific to the Bears, but it does seem like a widespread problem in the NFL. But specific to this game, the Bears get the ball back at the end of the second half with 26 seconds left. The Minnesota Vikings have no timeouts. The Chicago Bears have one timeout. They don't run a play. Now, in this anemic offense, the anemic as far as the rest of the year goes, there's no reason to not try to at least throw some out routes to a Komet or just run a Mooney play down the side to get out of bounds to at least get 3 points. The Bears decided to not get points at all. They decided to run in the locker room and figure out what to do as they've done the rest of the year. I don't understand why they won't just try to get points at the end of the half when they're going to give the ball back to Minnesota.
Yeah. Ryan, before you finish, and I definitely want to let you finish, can I give you one good reason? Did you see the ball that Mitch threw on the second to last possession? I mean, that's real.
No, don't give the ball to Mitch. I mean, just run
the
ball.
He's the quarterback.
Well, hold on real quick, Ryan. They did. They ran one play. They ran a draw to Montgomery. They got no game.
But they had 26. They had 26 seconds left and Minnesota had no timeouts.
Well, what you
did? Try to get some points.
Well, they did.
This so offense normally needs as many points as they could possibly get.
So normally what teams will do is you'll try to run a run play or a draw play to try to just see if you can get a big chunk gain, right? And then maybe you get to the 50-yard line, you throw a bomb because you only have 26 seconds left. Or you get to throw a little out route, call a timeout or whatever and try to kick a field goal. But once that kind of nothing comes of that, it's just, to me, I take a knee and go just because I don't have Patrick Mahomes. I don't have Drew Brees back there that can dissect that defense in 26
seconds.
Well,
you do have David Montgomery and a run offense that actually works for the rest of the game.
Well, they gave it to him, and he got no gain. They gave it
to
him.
Yeah,
Ryan.
Okay. Well, we appreciate the phone call, but in this particular case, there is more than enough justifiable criticism for this team and what they did. That in that case, with 26 seconds, just because you have one timeout, they were also 75 yards away from the end zone.
Yes.
Again, I'm not saying you're wrong. You know, maybe lightning strikes, but of all the things that I would have an issue with that happened today, that at least for me was not one of them. But thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Folks, want to tell everybody it is time for the Prop Swap Sale of the Week. A gambler made a three-leg parlay on the L.A. Dodgers to win the World Series, the Lakers to win the Finals, and Clemson to win the CFP. Now, he bet $500 to potentially pay $31,000, and he sold it on PropSwap this week for $9,000. So here's what you end up with. The seller turns $500 into $9,000, no questions asked, and the buyer has a chance to win $31,000 for a $9,000 wager. Everybody wins. Come join us. Check out PropSwap.com right now or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. Guys, we're going to take a very quick commercial break here. When we get back, nothing but your phone calls, 312-644-6767. It's the Prop Swap post-game show right here on The Score.
Vikings at the 39-yard line, Minnesota territory, operating right to left from the right hash. Snap, Cousins, play fake, in trouble, and down he goes! Sacked on the play by Mack and Bilal. And Bilal goes into his dance once again. He's having quite the second half of the season. Bilal Nichols, consistent pressure of late.
Welcome back to our Prop Swap post-game show presented by PNC Bank right here at 670 The Score. It is great to be with you all on a Bears victory Sunday. Our phone number, 312-644-6767. And one of the things that jumped out at me during this game, as much as the defense, there's still things I think they need to fix, Pat, but the pass rush was there again. And is Bilal Nichols becoming a difference maker? I mean, this kid, he's making plays every Sunday now.
What's interesting, he's taking the place of what Robert Quinn was supposed to be, right? We got to see Robert Quinn get a sack, and he had actually a pretty good game. He had quite a few pressures, I thought, as well. But, yeah, Bilal Nichols is the one where he's making the plays that I thought it was going to be Robert Quinn. That's why you signed Robert Quinn, to be the difference maker and make some of these, you know, plays when you're blocked one-on-one. But, man, good for this guy and playing as well as he is. And I heard Chuck Pagano talk about him this past week during the week and giving him praise. And I got a chance to interview him a few times when I was doing the Chicago Huddle TV show when he was a young rookie. And he seemed like he had a good head on his shoulders, that he wanted to be great, listen to the right people, work his butt off, take coaching. And it looks and sounds like he's doing that. And he's playing pretty well.
I'll tell you what I think is really interesting about it, Pat, is that you get Eddie Goldman back next year. He obviously was out of place over the nose, but as a five technique, he's really developing nicely now. Robert Quinn, no, he hasn't been nearly what you hoped for your $30 million investment, but he actually played pretty well last week, too, and he was all over the place today. You know, you get Goldman back next year, and you've got the nucleus up front for this defense to really create pressure again, especially if you add to it Travis Gibson. Olin mentioned him in the pregame show. He had a couple nice rushes last week. He did again today. That's what he was drafted for. So, you know, several interesting things that popped up there, no question about it. And then there's Khalil Mack. The guy is obviously playing hurt. He obviously is going 100%. And he seems, when he is creating pressure, as he did today, the whole defense just, you know, seems to follow him.
Yeah, no doubt. They had a lot of energy up there. And it helps when Kirk Cousins holds the ball as long as he does. And he helped him a few times with that. And he hurt him with the legs, too, a little bit. He scrambled pretty well. But another player just in that front seven is Roquan Smith, continues to play at a very high level. The one play where Greg Jennings pointed out where he ran down the little screen play from the backside, that's elite football. That's superior speed, instincts, and just want to. And he's playing well. He had a couple great run stuffs again. And you're right, for the future of that defensive front, it looks even maybe better than it was supposed to be this year with Eddie Goldman coming back and the growth of Bilal Nichols. And you know, who knows if we can get Robert Quinn healthy and get a little more production there. And then you got Roy Robinson Harrison coming back, I think, unless he might be a free agent.
He's
correct?
A free agent. He's going to be a UFA.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, I don't know, unfortunately, having missed the season with the injury, my guess is that there aren't going to be a lot of huge offers out there, and I know they like him, so maybe even bring him back. I'll tell you, I hadn't thought much about it until today, but John Jenkins flashed two or three times out there, too. So there's good signs from the defense, and I don't want to make too much of it today only because they were so thin in the secondary, but we still need to see them play better if they're going to have a chance at Soldier Field in 2 weeks against the Packers. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Paul in Lake Forest is up next. Paul, how you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for taking my call. I've been on the phone here for a half hour or so, 40 minutes, whatever it is. I haven't heard one mention of how much better the offensive line is, and I know why. Because that then proves that it wasn't Trubisky's fault this whole time. Wow, all of a sudden, David Montgomery's a great running back. All of a sudden, Trubisky's going to have a fantastic passer rating today. Not one mention of the super improved offensive line. I've been loving listening for 2 years to these professional talent evaluators who the closest they've ever been to a football situation is seeing a jockstrap hanging up at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Well, Paul, thank you for the call. I'm not sure who else you called and you were holding with, because we talked extensively about the improved offensive line right off the top with Mully, and it is improved. It's not, what did you just say, dramatically improved? Or I mean, it's still got work to do, but, you know, Pat, there's no question that the improved play of the offensive line is consistent with the insertion into the starting lineup of both Sam Mustipher and Alex Bars. and they again did play better today. They do still at times have real issues in pass protection. You know, first play of the game, I think, did Mitch take a sack or early in that first possession. And it wasn't, at first I thought it was Charles Leno again, but then when I looked, it really wasn't. It was kind of a stunt that the Vikings ran, and it wasn't one player's fault. But you know, Paul, for the most part, yes, the offensive line play is improved, and yes, we have been talking about it.
Yeah, it's 100% they've improved, but also this scheme is helping them a ton. I mean, how many times do you see the boots and the play actions and things like that? That's that when you're an offensive lineman and they come in and they say, blah, 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 whatever, boot right, blah, blah, blah. As an offensive, you're like, yes, because all that is, it's kind of just turn protection. You're just, you've got a gap to protect. It's not one-on-one blocking a guy like a 5-7-step drop back with a quarterback sitting in the pocket. So it's a very friendly protection for the offensive line. So that's helping them as well. And you're right. They do struggle a little bit when they just sit back there and, you know, with Montgomery off of Mitch's hip in the shotgun. They struggle with that in third and long. But what they're doing with this scheme is they're helping Mitch and they're helping this offensive line. And it's great to see it happen. And Mitch is running it very well.
Let's head to Kentucky and welcome Bob into the show. Bob, thanks for dialing us up.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. And, boy, I hate being a little bit of a Debbie Downer on such a day. We should be celebrating. In fact, it kind of ruined part of the game for me. But I'd love to hear your guys' comments on the announcers. They made the game almost totally unwatchable for me. Love to hear what you guys have to say about it.
Well, Bob, Pat, I'm going to let you go first on this one. I'm going to collect my thoughts.
I don't have a comment because that's one thing I don't like to do. I don't like to break down and comment on some of these announcers. It's a hard job getting into radio when I got in there with Matt Spiegel. You got a lot to learn. Some of these guys are young. It's tough to do with all the moving parts. And I don't listen to them, really. You know, I'm watching the game through my eyes and breaking it down myself, and what they say sometimes I disagree with, sure, but they see it differently. They're seeing it from a different perspective. Like, we had a wide receiver calling a game, so sometimes he doesn't see stuff that maybe I see with more offensive line eyes or special teams stuff that happened the guys don't get. But I don't really grade the commentators during the program.
Yeah, Bob, I guess I want to echo what Pat says a little bit. First of all, I do this for a living, too, for Westwood One. Of course, was in the Bears booth for 20 years, and so I am kind of loath to be hard on other, you know, play-by-play and color guys because I know how hard the job can be. Beyond that, like Pat, I don't really listen to the TV guys. I'm trying to more focused on watching, and I only comment when they're awful. There was a few times earlier in the year. There was a particularly bad game with Rich Gannon. There was a particularly bad game with Jonathan Vilma after he got off to a good start. You know, I offered a couple commentaries. What I heard today, I didn't hear anything all that troublesome. I actually happen to know and like Chris Myers and think he does a pretty good job. I think Greg Jennings is more just new to it than anything else. But honestly, I'm a little surprised by your call because I usually do notice it when there's something that's annoying about the announcers. And I didn't have that issue with them today. Certainly open to anybody else's thoughts. Because again, Pat and I weren't paying that much attention.
Yeah,
I
honestly don't. I mean, I listen to their, like if big plays happen or, you know, I listen to it, but I don't grade it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't really care what they say. I watch more of the product on the field. And that's really what I'm grading.
Yeah. One of the things you got to realize about these network TV guys is that they're not following these teams all week long or all season long. You know, they come in on Friday and they hear what they're told by the coaches and the PR folks, and they sometimes lean too much on that. But they don't know these teams, quite frankly, as well as a lot of the fans do. And that's why you will sometimes expect them to know a bit more. What I listen for when I'm listening to these guys is their analysis of specific plays and why they broke down. Because you do have ex-players who've been in that situation. You know, if they have an opinion about a play call, it's often worth listening to. But their knowledge of the two teams is not something I would rely on them for, because that's not where you're going to get all the best information. Let's squeeze in one more before we take another break. Reimar has been checking in from Savannah, Georgia most weeks, and it's good to have you with us again, Reimar. How you doing today?
Well, thank you guys for having me. More than any fan base, I think recency bias really influences how we view the team. And Mitch, he looked really good today, right? But I would love for the two of you to play GM. What are we going to do next year? You know, we've got, you look at the free agency class, probably the top of it would be Dax Shepard. Not going to pay him $30 million, right, to come to Chicago. After that, what?
Dak, you mean you're talking about Dak Prescott, right?
Yeah, sorry. That's the actor, yeah. Prescott, my bad. And then, I mean, Jacoby, maybe he's number three. I don't know. And so here we are. We're stuck with, you know, look at some of those balls today on ultra slow-mo replay. He looks great rolling out, but now that's on tape, right? Minnesota wasn't ready for it. So the next two games, you know, teams are going to be ready for it. I'm not sure he's the answer, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on, you know, obviously speculation, but what are we going to do next year at quarterback?
All right. I'm waiting for Pat, and Pat's pointing
at me. I'm looking
so
at you
I'll
too.
Go, no,
so
no, no, no.
You
I'll
go first. You know
will,
more
yeah.
about the free agency and stuff like that.
Well,
so
yeah,
take that part maybe, because I would like to learn some stuff about that.
Yeah, no, Dak Prescott is not an option. You know, number one, Jones has already indicated he could franchise him again. I don't think he will. But now coming off this injury loss season, I think he's a little less expensive. And to me, he's not a $140 million quarterback, which is what he wants to be. And then other than that, there are no starting quarterbacks in free agency. You can go for a Tyrod Taylor, who's probably not going back to the Chargers. You've got Fitzmagic is going to be out there. You know, there's one or two other of these veteran guys who are clearly not the answer. So you're not going to solve it in free agency again. That's number one. Number two, there's no question that right now of the two quarterbacks on the Bears, Mitch is the better quarterback. So you can't, off what we've seen this year, just let him walk and say we're going to go with Nick Foles. So now, do you make a trade, or is there somebody you could draft who you could see starting early next year? Because where this defense is at, and now with this developing running game, your window is probably open for another year. And so I want to wait a couple more weeks, but I think what's happening now is that you've either got to have a trade up your sleeve or somebody you've identified, or you got to think about trying to get Mitch on a shorter term, you know, 1 or 2 year deal. Because he's making money for himself now, Pat, but it's not like he's lighting it up out there and somebody's going to come at him with a Teddy Bridgewater deal like the deal Bridgewater got this year. So it was really interesting to hear his response. And you had to hear it. You had to look him in the eye and hear it. We were on a Zoom together Wednesday when he was asked about it. And he said, you know, I've thought about it. And then he said, I really don't want to talk about it right now. And I think he was trying to stay in the moment and focus on the next upcoming game. But there was something about the way he said it that suggested his thoughts haven't all been pleasant about it, you know. So, but I do think that if he continues over the next 2 weeks to play the way he has the last four, you now have to consider at least a short-term prove-it deal. You're certainly not going to give him a long-term deal.
Well, I think that's it. If he continues playing this way in this offense and they're willing to run the offense in this style, like I said, they've averaged 31 points the last four games. Three of those, well, all the defenses haven't been great, but it's still 31 points in the NFL. And like you said, there's really nothing out there. That's the problem. Like, I don't envy being Ryan Pace right now, because he put himself in this situation hoping that Mitch would progress into being a true number one quarterback in the NFL. And I think these next two games are going to say more, but I still don't think he's a top 10 NFL quarterback. And I think that's what you drafted him to be when you got him at number two, if not to be higher up than that as a top 10. So it's a tough situation, and I just don't know out there some of the names that you named, Hub, that I would be ecstatic to clap my hands during the offseason. Yeah. Hey, we got them. We're better. This is really going to help help this team. And the offense is going to score more points. You know, defense can play a little bit better, but I just don't think there is a right now any other option out there that's intriguing or gets you excited. I think that's part of the problem.
Well, and Reimar, here's the other issue. We don't know who's making the decision. Yeah. Because in a strange kind of way, if it's not Ryan Pace, it might be easier for a new GM to bring Mitch back for a year or two than what it does to Pace if he keeps the job and brings Mitch back, you know. So we're just going to have to wait a couple more weeks, but there's no question that Mr. Trubisky has at least played his way back into this conversation over the last 4 weeks. And now we got to watch these next 2 weeks with great interest. And every game counts, but I'll say more so than any. We got to see what happens against the Packers here on the last day of the season. We are going to take a very quick commercial break. We have a ton more of our Prop Swap post-game show presented by PNC Bank coming for you. He's Patrick Manley. I'm Hub Arkush. The phone number 312-644-6767. Your Chicago Bears are fighting for a playoff spot, guys. Let's talk about it. 312-644-6767 is the number if you want to join us on the phone. We are back in just a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.